This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord
Christ. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. As efficient gardeners, O Lord, we want to clear our world of weeds that seem to hurt and destroy our loved ones and us. Help us to listen and to follow you, our landowner, to lead us in the proper ways of life. May we trust your ways for the outcome you have already promised at the harvest. Evil will not overcome all that you have done. So help us, Lord, in our weakness to trust your loving ways as we ask your guidance in assisting us to practice forgiveness and perseverance. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I don't know about you, but of all the parables that Jesus teaches, the one about the weeds growing among the wheat is one that really irritates me. In many situations when my humanity gets the best of me, I want to do exactly what those slaves and servants of the landowner wanted to do. I want to pull up the weeds, throw the bums out, and see that the world is free from the latest scumbags and troublemakers, and I want to do it all immediately. But that is not what this parable is teaching us. This is not what the landowner wants to see happening. And so you see, this is a very difficult parable. What Jesus is challenging us is not simply to understand the teaching of this parable, but he wants us to demonstrate its teaching in our daily living. And that is where the majority of us, in fact, perhaps all of us, fall very short. There are two topics that deserve deep examination today, deserving much more explanation than what the parable gives us today from Scripture. The first is for us to focus on the significance of the weeds. And the second is to focus on one of the words that the landowner speaks to guide us. So first, let us look at the weeds. The gardeners among us raise a very suspicious eyebrow at not pulling out weeds until the harvest time. Certainly, that is no way to keep a good farm, and certainly is no way for us to keep our little tidy gardens around our home. But what we need to realize is that the weeds that grow along with the wheat field is an annual grass that looks very much like wheat. In fact, in the Old English translation of Scripture, we have the translation of the word weeds as darnel. And darnel is a unique kind of grain that cannot be distinguished from wheat during all the early stages of growth. So, as the plants mature, the two side by side, the roots become intertwined. They become inseparable. But separation is necessary. Unless that darnel is eventually removed, the flour that is made by the grain is ruined by the darnel, making the flour bitter and also mildly toxic. Therefore, the usual solution was to gather the wheat and the weeds together, to spread it out on a large flat surface, and then by hand pick out the grains of darnel. Because by this time at harvest, the color of the darnel is a little different from the color of the wheat. So the weeds can be separated. They can only be separated from the wheat at the appropriate time, which is following the harvest. And that is a very, very significant detail in this parable and its teaching. This now brings us to the second topic, and that is what the landowner said. We hear very clearly in the scripture today, let both of them grow together until the harvest. Now, this may make sense to us when we are addressing a field out there with the wheat growing, knowing that the weeds look like it, and fine, let it be. Where it dismays us is when we begin to realize that this is a parable. And this is teaching us something about our own lives. As you recall, Father Marty mentioned last Sunday that a parable is a simple story about everyday life and is used to project a higher meaning of life for us, usually making a very simple, single point. So, as this implies something about the realm of living for you and me, herein begins to lie the problem, because our natural instinct is to want to clean house, to get rid of the problem, or at least expect God to do something about it. From our perspective then, who are the weeds that grow crazily in this wheat field of the world? These are the plants that you and I want to yank out by the roots. These are the people that we want to lock up and throw away the keys. These perhaps are the people that we feel deserve death. These are people we want to obliterate and remove from the world. These are people who do not fit in for whatever reason, and we don't want them around because they hurt us and hurt our loved ones. Indeed, there are times when many of us at least momentarily see this as the obvious solution. Remove them. We want the wheat field of the world to flourish without being scarred by weeds. Or there's that other option. The option, instead of yanking them out, where we leave it to God, We sublimate our rage, our powerlessness, and despair, and we begin to question God. We begin to ask God things like, why don't you take care of these people, whoever they are? Why do you allow them to commit horrible things among us? Why do you allow them to mess up our secure, comfortable little worlds? This parable does not deny the fact that there are weeds among the wheat. It does not suggest for a moment that the world is free of evil. Instead, the weeds are often way too visible. But the landowner knows what happened. An enemy has done this. Yes, the world is a broken place. And what is meant to be a wheat field is only hosting countless weeds. Good and evil are allowed to thrive and coexist in this world of ours. And so we turn to the landowner as he says, let both of them grow together until the harvest. Now, these words may perplex us and confuse us. It sounds as if the landowner is resigning himself to letting the fertile fields of wheat become something more than a patch of weeds. But as we look carefully at the weeds, it is now time to look carefully at one particular word that is used by the landowner. The word is one that is translated as the word let. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. The original Greek word in the text has a wide variety of meanings. The one major meaning is the one we find used today, translated as let, meaning to allow or to permit. But another meaning of this word that is quite significant is that it means to forgive, to pardon. That is the exact word and definition that is given in the scripture when we find it referred to in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those. We will find many interpretations about this parable, many opinions that are offered. But I am struck with the words of Robert Ferrer Capon, who builds his interpretation on this parable with the two meanings of the word I just gave to you. And he writes, let both of them grow together until the harvest carries in the original language a sense of forgiveness toward the malicious enemy. Hard words for us to hear. So then, what is the meaning behind this parable? What I find this parable doing is inviting you and me to costly discipleship. It is asking you and me to do something that is so hard for us to do. It is something that I struggle with in my own life. How do we give forgiveness to someone who is unjustly victimizing us? The very evil that others do is not answered by pulling them out as weeds, by attacking and destroying the people who are responsible. Doing such only means that we will be inflicting more pain on ourselves or others, and even on them. Instead, the response is to be one of forgiveness, a willingness to trust in the purposes of God that comes with the harvest. In this view, God is the landowner. This landowner practices patience and forgiveness. This landowner is the example for us of what we ought to do. Certainly, this patience and this forgiveness appears to be the way that God always acts, as we see throughout the Holy Scripture. And simply look around you And see, everywhere in the world that God allows the wheat and the weeds to grow together, sometimes in dramatic, horrible ways, and sometimes in ordinary, ugly, everyday ways. You and I, sometimes we are the wheat, and sometimes we are the weeds. I am perfectly aware of that in my own life, that I, as a sinner, make bad choices that hurt me and hurt others. Saint Augustine commented on this parable in one of his sermons centuries ago and made the point with these words. There is this difference between people and real grain and real weeds. For what was grain in the field is grain, and what were weeds are weeds. But in the Lord's field, which is the church, at times, what was grain turns into weeds, and at times, what were weeds turns into grain. And no one knows what they will be tomorrow. God gives you and me amazing latitude to make choices. Choices to do the right thing, even to do wrong to the point of inflicting grievous harm on others and ourselves. And God does not pull us out of the mire of our mistakes by condemning us, but rather he forgives. It's a strange way to run the world, isn't it? And sometimes it just seems so scandalous. Why can't God hurl thunderbolts out of heaven and strike down our enemies? That is not the way our God chooses to be. And the most convincing evidence is the history of Christ himself. What does he teach? Nowhere, nowhere does he suggest that a life is paid in kind with evil that we have done. Instead, he goes on to tell strange and scandalous parables. Parables about patience and forgiveness, like the one we have today about the landowner who suffers the weeds and the weeds to grow together through all those months until the harvest. But Jesus doesn't only teach, he also acts it out in his own living. When his enemies nailed him to a cross, what did he do? He turned and spoke words of forgiveness. When he rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, what did he do to these disciples who betrayed him, who denied knowing him? He forgave them and even went a step further by empowering them with the Holy Spirit to spread the words of forgiveness to the world around him, to all those who need it. Which is to say, each and every one of us. Once the harvest is in, the weeds will be recognized for what they are, and they will be thrown into the fire. There is mercy, but there is also justice. There is a God who welcomes us with open arms. There is for us this forgiveness. Even though many of us may stand at a distance, afraid, knowing what our sins have done. Weeds and wheat. Who's one? Who is the other? Again, Augustine reminds us that no one knows what they will be tomorrow. Yes, there is something greater than justice that is offered in this parable. There is divine forgiveness. The willingness to let the weeds and the wheat grow together for a season where they will be inseparable. Recognizing that revenge resolves nothing, but only increases evil. Whether we are capable of living in the light of that truth is very clear from this parable. It is clear by the message of the cross that forgiveness and forbearance are God's way of working with this broken world. This approach may leave you and me extremely uncomfortable, even at odds with our God. But without this forbearance, without this forgiveness, no one stands a chance. Our preoccupation with wanting to remove those weeds must not prevent you and me from recognizing the wondrous conclusion of this parable. How indeed the harvest happens. The abundance of the wheat is gathered in, and it is enough for the landowner and all the servants to rejoice and to celebrate. The weeds in the field have no power to stop the realization of the bounty that will come. And so the parable ends on a note of brilliant triumph about the harvest. As it reads, "The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Let anyone with ears listen." Yes, evil is real, but it is not ultimate. It never has the last word. Greater by far are those who shine in the Father's kingdom, those who mirror the bright light of divine compassion. I conclude with this final example of one who, amid the horrors of a concentration camp, found the faith and the hope to write this prayer. This prayer points beyond the enemy's evil actions to the wonder of the harvest. It attests to the landowner's forgiveness and forbearance. It is wisdom. May each and every one of us be able to pray this prayer. O Lord, remember not only the men and the women of good will, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the sufferings that they have inflicted. Remember the fruits that we have bought thanks to this suffering. Our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of all of this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness also. Amen.